You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio on America's Broadcast Network. And as the owner of the station, I get the pleasure always of introducing, being the first on the show and introducing a new show to America's Web Radio. And it's my pleasure to introduce the insurance deal, and our host is going to be Ellen Deal. Now, I wonder how we came up with that name. That's sort of an interesting thing, insurance deal and Ellen Deal. There must be something there.
You know, Deal has been a great name, a great last name to have. It started out in high school. The running joke was, what did Ellen's parents say when they wanted to have kids? Let's make a deal. And from then on, I said, you know what? If people are going to do something with my last name, I'll do something with it as well.
Why not? So anyway, this is going to be interesting. And the thing that, just to sort of give an overview of the show, as I understand it, it's insurance, but it's all shape, forms, and fashions of insurance. And everything from medical and health and life insurance up and down the gambit to, I guess you'll have motorcycles in here at some point.
I do have some friends with Bikers for Trump, so if we can bring someone in to talk about motorcycle insurance, we'll absolutely do that. I love all things insurance, which just sounds crazy and nerdy. That's something I really enjoy. I do, however, and I've got friends in every aspect of the insurance industry and already have the first six shows lined up with a variety of topics and people to come in and blow your mind about insurance.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to the America's Broadcast Network family and America's Web Radio, and I'm going to turn your first show over to you.
Wow, that is great. Well, thank you, David, very, very much. For all of you first-time listeners out there, because it's a first-time show, I am Ellen Deal, and the show is The Insurance Deal. If you want to email me any questions, my email address is pretty simple. It's idealsolutions@gmail.com, and you spell deal the German way, D-I-E-H-L. So idealsolutions@gmail.com, and you can ask anything you want, and we'll cover it as soon as we can. I love the idea of coming to you folks and telling you what's going on with insurance, because it's a really complicated topic with so many different facets. I mean, anything from kidnapping insurance to gunshot wound to medical to dental to Medicare to Medicaid. And today I have brought in a good friend and a very special guest, Rick Sutter with TASC, and he is going to talk to us today about wrap documents, which right off the bat should confuse the heck out of you, which is why we are here. If you are a small business owner or a business owner of any size, if you are an insurance agent or an insurance broker, you need to listen up, because this is an opportunity for agents and brokers to help their customers, and a great opportunity for business owners to keep themselves safe and compliant and out of the clutches of some government folks or attorneys that may want to profit at the business owner's expense, because, you know, in America, small businesses have all the money. So with that being said, I'm going to ask a couple of getting to know you questions of our fabulous guest, Rick Sutter. Tell everybody hey.
Oh, hey. Thanks for having me on, Ellen. Yes.
This is great. Yeah. So Rick, first, so that I don't butcher it, tell everybody what TASC stands for.
TASC stands for Total Administrative Services Corporation. It's not quite insurance, but it's about as close to the glue that holds it together as you can get.
Great. So what got you over to TASC?
I have close to 30 years of insurance background, Ellen, and decided that it was time to take a look at what the dirty work was behind the insurance brokerage and benefit business. And TASC is that company that takes care of a lot of that dirty work. They do benefit account management. They do a compliance management, which is a very important facet of today's highly litigious legislative benefit world. So I think our topic today that you want to discuss, wrap documents, is very apropos with respect to the benefit benefits world and the benefits climate that we're living in today.
Right, right. So wrap documents, for those of you who don't know, and I'll say it in layman's terms, and then Rick is going to really explain to you what it is. If you're a business owner and you provide benefits of any kind to your employees, be that medical, dental, vision, life, or even supplemental products like disability, cancer, critical illness, you need to keep on file and up to date something called a wrap document, so that if someone wants to come in and audit what you do, you've got proof of what it is. We'll talk about a lot of different things, but now, Rick, did these wrap documents just come about in recent years? How long have they been?
Ellen, the legislation has been on the books since 1974.
I did not know that.
That's correct. Since the advent of the Affordable Care Act in 2010, the government has ratcheted up the enforcement of these legislative efforts. The legislation is called ERISA. E-R-I-S-A stands for the Employment, Retirement, and Income Security Act. What we're talking about today is something not related to retirement, but related to health and welfare plans. These wrap documents have nothing to do with music, nothing to do with sandwiches, nothing to do with paper. They are a federal requirement of each and every employer offering ERISA subject benefits, which is everything you mentioned just previously. And, it's a document and an updating requirement that the DOL enforces, the Department of Labor. So to pay for this legislation, this Obamacare, the Department of Labor is relying on fines and penalties from small businesses who are not keeping current with this federal requirement.
Goodness. So everything I said a minute ago about what a wrap document is, go over that again, just okay, so that folks listening, there's a lot to swallow and digest. So I really want you to hear, if you're a business owner, hear and understand what it is you are responsible for. And a little call to action for you guys: if you don't know if you have it or if it's up to date, you need to get in touch with me or Rick, and we'll be giving you our email addresses again throughout the show. Again, cover the whole gamut.
Ellen, WRAP is a colloquial term standing for Summary Plan Description, or SPD. It's an ERISA SPD that we're looking for. One of the biggest misconceptions in the marketplace is that business owners and insurance brokers believe that this SPD is supplied by the insurance carrier themselves, mm-hmm. and that's not correct. What the insurance carrier provides is a summary of benefits and coverage, and is actually a supplement to the federal requirement, which is the ERISA SPD or WRAP document. We call it a WRAP document simply because those carrier documents I look at as chapters in a book, where the federal summary plan description would be the front cover, the back cover, and the table of contents defining what is in that book or that benefit plan that that employer is offering to their employees. Legislation requires this WRAP document to go down to two employees only. Or two employees up to an infinite number.
So let me jump in with SPD real quick. I can see why people get confused about the term SPD, because when the Affordable Care Act, and somebody go to a dictionary and look up affordable and tell me the meaning of the word, because that's not what the Affordable Care Act is. But if someone buys health insurance and a business owner gets something called an SPD, and I could see where they think that 12-page description that's part of CMS, they could say, oh, I have an SPD, but no, they don't, because this acronym has more than one meaning. So go on back to SPD mm-hmm. and the importance of that.
That is the biggest misconception right out there, is that the carrier document, that carrier SPD, is often thought of as being in compliance when it's only a partial level of compliance. And not having the federal SPD or the ERISA SPD or WRAP document around that carrier document puts that company in violation of federal ERISA law. And, you know, if you want to get into violations and how, you know, it triggers, you know, an inquiry from the DOL, we can certainly discuss that. But in the last 12 months, Ellen, I have to tell you that I've been personally involved with two companies here in the Atlanta metro area that have gone through nightmare DOL audits because of their lack of understanding of what an ERISA SPD is and what they have to provide to be in compliance.
Yeah. So a lot of things in recent years with the ACA, Affordable Care Act, again, get a dictionary and look up the word affordable. A lot of things have changed, and it's creating a great deal of confusion among policyholders, from business owners to, you know, the mom trying to figure out how to use the plan, which it's a shame for all of that confusion, but that has created some opportunity in our industry and for the folks who are creative enough to find ways to address that change. They've found a creative way to create a different niche of business for themselves. And we're going to be in the next hour, we're going to break up into segments. We're going to talk about some real life stories of trouble that people may have gotten in and how you help them out. If you're a business owner, listen up, because we are going to tell you, but not yet, we are going to talk to you about how much a penalty can be, and you'll want to get out your calculators, because you'll need to multiply that by how many employees you have, and a number of different things that we'll bring with you throughout. We are still in the first quarter of our show with plenty to talk about. Rick, when did RAP documents, I mean, I know you said 1974 mm-hmm. is when the legislation came about, which I was alive in 1974, didn't hear about it back then. And why has it become so much more of a frontline issue today?
Ellen, the first time I ever heard the term RAP document was about 1991. And it was a surprise to me at that time. Obviously, I was an insurance broker.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about it from an ERISA attorney.
Okay.
So in you know, our traditional business relationships, many companies have their own you know, human resources people or ERISA attorneys or HR specialists that understand the federal law. Most small businesses don't really understand the federal law, so you know, that's really been the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so as insurance brokers out there, they're all understanding what state law requires.
Mm-hmm.
They go out and get a license, and they go out and sell insurance, and they're selling health care insurance. And then all of a sudden, they get you know, hit blindsided by what federal requirements are, and they really end up looking like they have egg on their face at that point.
Okay, great. Well, when we come back from the break, we will talk more about what size groups, what size businesses have to adhere to what kind of laws, and we're going to scare the pants off of you with some penalties.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200, or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay, everybody, how are you doing? We are back, and this is Ellen Deal, and you are listening to the inaugural episode of The Insurance Deal. We are here to talk to you about all things insurance, and today we are talking to you about some truly, and I'm not kidding, truly riveting compliance issues in the terms of ERISA law and wrap documents. So if you are a business owner and you have not thought about the word compliance in a while, you need to turn up the radio and get a pen out, because you're about to learn a few things about compliance and penalties. Again, I am Ellen Deal, and if you want to send in a question, you can use my email address, which is idealsolutions@gmail.com. And Deal is spelled D-I-E-H-L. So idealsolutions@gmail.com. And we have with us my fabulous friend and guest, Rick Sutter with TASK. Rick, tell them your email address real quick.
Okay, Ellen. It's Rick, R-I-C-K, dot Sutter, S-U-T-T-E-R. That's the Swiss spelling. At TASK Online, TASKONLINE.com.
All right, now I wanted to make sure that you guys have these email addresses so that if you have questions about your compliance issues, you can come to either of us and we will help get you straight and avoid penalties. And by penalties, I mean money. So we don't want you to have to come out of pocket for anything. So Rick, well, let's talk about what some of the triggers are that cause these penalties to, not to occur, but why would a penalty happen?
Ellen, recently, with, again, the advent of the Affordable Care Act, the Employee Benefit Security Administration has put out as its mission, and they are the enforcing arm of DOL legislation. They put out as its mission to educate the American public on their rights and privileges as employees of companies here in the United States. And as part of that educational process, they have created an easy way on their website and through the downloading of an app for anybody to log on to the DOL website and inquire about their rights as an employee with, employee benefits. And it's made it very easy for anybody to obviously understand information. Let's just face it. We are users of mobile apps today.
Mm-hmm, right.
Anybody can go on to DOL.gov through their mobile app. If they feel that their rights are in question of their employee benefits, or if there's an issue with them having problems with employee benefits, if they feel they've been discriminated against, they can make a simple inquiry themselves to the DOL. And the DOL is obligated to respond to that inquiry. And what do you think is the first question in that questionnaire that an employee might have to answer?
Has your employer given you an up-to-date description of your benefits?
That's close. The first question is, who is your employer and how do we contact them?
Oh, all right. That's right, because the employer, you small business owners out there, you've got all the money. So, the government wants to reach into your pocket and redistribute some of that wealth. Oops, did I say that? All right, so you've got a disgruntled employee maybe that learns how to use an app and go out and see if they are, if their employer is in violation of something. So they don't have to turn to any kind of workplace violence, but they can turn to an app and try and damage their employer in that way. How many different infractions can an employer be in violation of, really without even knowing it?
When the DOL gets an inquiry, they like to turn over a lot of stones.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go after an employer, they usually have a questionnaire with about 35 questions,
mm-hmm.
with several subparts.
Mm-hmm.
Those questions range from producing that summary plan description,
okay.
which I talked about earlier, all the way to please provide us with the names of parties of interest that you are associated with that help you make your business decisions, such as your insurance broker,
okay.
or CPA,
mm-hmm.
or other advisors. And so we've got a very thorough way that they investigate and intimidate the businesses out there with this questionnaire. Now, if anybody wants a copy of what that questionnaire, or most recent one, is, I have that available, and I can forward that to you, and you can forward it to your listeners.
Okay, great.
As well. So that's one of the primary areas. The DOL will also say that their audits are often just random. They have been hiring new auditors by the thousands to enforce about a $1.4 billion annual budget that is required to keep the federal ACA legislation up and running.
Now, so, let me ask about this $1.4 yeah. billion budget. Mm-hmm. Is this budget to pay all these attorneys? And who's getting this $1.4 billion? I like to follow the money.
Well, it's helping to helping to augment and enforce the Affordable Care Act. And it's keeping these new auditors employed, and
mm-hmm.
Obviously it's a pretty vicious way of trapping money.
So just because I have a problem with billion versus million, 1.4 what?
Yeah, that's a B.
Billion. Okay,
yeah.
So 1.4.
It ranges 1.4 to 1.7 billion over the years. That budget comes out in April of the of each year, and we also have a copy of that as well. It's about a 90-page document.
Okay.
You can get that at DOL.gov.
I just want to stick with this $1.4, $1.7 billion for a minute. So before the Affordable, get your dictionary out, the Affordable Care Act, were we spending $1.4 billion on these employees?
I'm not sure if we were, and I don't know where the money would have come from if we were.
So is the $1.4 billion coming from the mandate, which, by the way, get out your dictionary. In this instance, mandate means tax. Mandate, tax, and penalty are all a bit interchangeable when you're talking about this type of business. So the $1.4 billion, does that come from the Affordable Care Act?
We believe that it comes from the fines and penalties that are generated through the enforcement
mm-hmm.
of laws that have been on the books since 1974.
Okay.
Upgraded enforcement.
Yeah, I would be interested, and of course I'll be Googling it shortly, to know of those $1.4 billion, did we have people employed and being paid by this tax money prior to the Affordable Care Act or not? It just seems like a really huge number that maybe was not in play before. Rick, is this a good time to talk about what these daily fines are?
Yeah, we can start. We can get into that in 1 second, but I will throw a couple numbers out for you.
All right.
First, the number 2. Is the smallest size employer that right now that we've experienced going through a DOL audit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Number 1,071, I believe, is how many auditors that the DOL hired in 2014. The number 1,004 is the number of auditors hired in 2015. The number 1.4 billion is what I told you about, was the 2015 EBSA budget for enforcement
mm-hmm.
of to keep these auditors employed, and obviously to help cover the cost of enforcement of to pay for the Affordable Care Act or dictionary definition of thereof. So you want to get into the fines now, Ellen?
Well, no, let's jump back to these numbers for a minute. That was one of the things I wanted to cover was what size groups can be impacted by these fines.
As small as two.
Mm-hmm.
If that employer is offering ERISA subject benefits,
mm-hmm.
up to an unlimited number of sizes. One of the biggest misconceptions out there is that they only enforce this with companies of 100 or more employees. I have personal experience dealing with officers of companies of less than 100 employees who are going through some very nasty DOL audits.
So all the way down to a small group of two. Okay, business owners out there across America, if you are anywhere in the United States of America, you are under these laws. ERISA apparently applies to you, and you can face some fines, some penalties, some taxes, all the way down to a small business of two. So anywhere across the country, you need to be paying attention for this. We can absolutely help you out. We want to keep you from having your door knocked on by. Let's hit two more numbers. You said I am loving these numbers. I overuse the word love a lot. I love these numbers. So tell me again the number 1,071. Which number was that?
That was the number of auditors that were. I guess it was in the budget to hire in 2014.
Okay. That's what I thought you said.
Yeah,
and the next number up for bids is the number 1,004. And I did jot down that you said that was the number of auditors hired in 2015. Mm-hmm. Now, I am not real good with math, but luckily there are a lot of zeros in here. Hey, listeners, somebody add up 1,071 and 1,004. If you don't have time to add that up, I'll go ahead and tell you. The answer is 2,075. So we have 2,075 auditors, and that's just hired in the year 2014 and 2015. So what in the world does that mean for you? That means that somebody could be coming and knocking on your door. Folks, we are about to have another informational advertisement from one of our fantastic sponsors, so y'all stay tuned and we will be right back for more of the insurance deal.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use a state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of The Insurance Deal. I am Ellen Deal, and I'm thrilled to be here today talking to you about insurance. What? Yes, I'm thrilled to be talking about insurance. Who would have ever thought? Because when I was a little girl, what I really wanted to be was a lounge singer, which, if it was smoky enough and people were drinking enough, I would probably sound good enough. Actually, no. Rick, you know what? Okay, we're going to go totally off topic for a minute. Rick has been to a karaoke place where I was. He's getting red. I don't know if that means I was good or not good. All right, go ahead.
It brings back the fondest memory.
That my birthday?
It was your birthday.
It was my birthday.
Yeah, you turned 25.
There you go. I was going to say we're not going to say which one, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. So, Rick and his wonderful wife, Michelle, who is a dear and lovely, fantastic woman. Had come out to a birthday for me, and karaoke is I think very fun, whether you're good at it or not.
Oh, some of us are absolutely dreadful.
Dreadful. Okay. Well, so
Simon Cowell would throw us away.
Nah, that would be great. So one thing that the Affordable Care Act is not going to make you do is sing "Material Girl" to all of your friends on your birthday, but we can help you out with that. Wrap documents, still lots of fun. If you are a business owner or you are an agent or a broker, please do listen up, because we need to keep your employers, we need to keep business owners safe from the ravages of the penalties and the mandates that are in the Affordable Care Act. One thing we were just discussing in the last segment was how small of a business can this impact? And it can impact a business down to 2. So if you are a business owner and you think, oh, I am too small for anything with the name ERISA to impact me at all, well, if it also has the word wrap document in it, you can be facing some penalties. We're going to call out the numbers. I just learned in the last segment that I love numbers. So I'm going to throw some more numbers at you in terms of penalties. We're going to talk to you about who is on the hook for these penalties. And if you've got a question, do please email it in to me at idealsolutions@gmail.com. And if you've got specific questions for Rick, you can email him at rick.sutter@taskonline.com, and we will give you those addresses again. So, Rick, where were we? Do you recall where you were right before we left off at the break?
We were talking about going into the penalty phase of our newfound discovery of DOL audits.
All right, penalties. Well, then, since I love the numbers, do you mind if I read off some numbers?
Be my guest.
Okay, so one of my brokers was asking me about wrap documents, and I just jumped out to the interweb and grabbed some ideas of what penalties are. And failure to provide an SPD, summary plan document, or a wrap document within 30 days is a penalty of, all right, small business owners, write this down, $110 per day per participant or beneficiary for each violation. So let's say you have a 20-person business and a disgruntled, recently separated from you employee finds this app on their phone that says, let's find out if your employer is in violation. And there are 20 people in the group. Rick, does that mean that the penalty can be $110 a day times 20 employees?
Each employee has the right to request a copy of the SPD.
Mm-hmm.
The employee who asks that question is asking it on behalf of themselves.
Okay.
So the employer would be responsible for paying whoever created that inquiry. What becomes the Pandora's box, Ellen, is that once the DOL finds out that this employer is not supplying the reporting and disclosure that's required of them, they then go a little bit deeper and the fines get much deeper. But that $110 that we're speaking of is payable to that employee who made that inquiry. It doesn't even go into the DOL coffers or the federal government coffers. That goes directly to the employee themselves who make that inquiry. So you could probably look at the little cottage industry that could come up between attorneys and clients about this. And there has been some experience on my part of, you know, directly seeing how this occurs.
So let me make sure I'm hearing you right, because business owners, brokers, agents, listen up. You need to protect yourselves and protect your customers. So it sounds like attorneys could be involved in this. If I'm an attorney and I need to make an hourly rate, if business is not very good, am I going to, stand in line at the unemployment office and ask people if they would like to see if their business owner is out of compliance at all?
Oh, Ellen, I would never say that an attorney would be, would stoop to that level, but, you know, I think that... Well, I'm not going to go that far. But,
well,
I think you can use your imagination.
All right. So, I mean, you look at the folks that are graduating from college. I think the number one and number two, maybe three, we've got a lot of attorneys, a lot of CPAs, which God love them. They have to be smart people to be CPAs, way smarter than me, and IT folks. So... attorneys. Yeah, if the industry is flooded with attorneys, what else are they going to do but try and find? So, and I have a relative who's an attorney, and I love him dearly, so I won't say his name. If you're listening, I love you. Wow, so that's just one of the penalties. There is another penalty. Is there more that we can say about that $110 penalty?
I believe we also know that there's legislation enacted to raise that number from $110 a day up to, I believe, maybe $149 a day.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another, another note on here. Failure to furnish to the Department of Labor any requested information can result in a penalty of up to $149 per day. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a separate $149 from what you were just referencing?
You need to furnish that requirement up to the Department of Labor, so that's in addition.
Okay, so we've got the $110 penalty, and then we've got a $149 mm-hmm. penalty. Whew. And you know what? That's not just the penalty. That's, you know, think how much time the business owner is going to spend away from doing their own business. Now you have to focus on these taxes. You have to maybe hire your own attorney. Certainly spend more time with your CPA and not focusing on your business. So, Rick, tell us a little bit, you know, what is a company like Task? Rick.Sutter at taskonline.com.
Okay.
What does a company like Task do for an employer to keep them safe?
Task works as that third party. Task works directly with the employer to make sure that their ERISA summary plan description is up to date and current. If there are any changes to a benefit, any part of those ERISA subject benefits that you mentioned earlier, the medical, dental, vision, supplementary, wellness programs, EAP, any of those subject to oversight, flexible spending accounts, HSAs or HRAs, all subject to documentation, disclosure, and reporting requirements. If the DOL is you know, finding that these are not up to date, then additional fines ensue. So Task will create the modifications to each wrap document as changes are made. Coverage is added, coverage is deleted. Mm-hmm. Copays change, add, delete. Carriers change. All these changes are, in the eyes of the federal government, material modifications that must be reported and disclosed and available for inspection. So what we're talking about, in addition to just having a document on hand, is not only having those benefit change triggers updated as summaries of material modification, but the federal government also, through its executive activity and actions, triggers the need for summaries of material modification. Mm-hmm. My company did over 11,000 SMMs in President Obama's last year in the office. Summaries of material modification.
I was about to ask, SMM. Yeah. You know, I love mm-hmm. me some numbers, but I'm not so hip to the acronyms when mm-hmm. I don't know what they mean.
Well, we talked about SPD is one S.
Yes.
The next S is the summary of material modification, the SMM. And that is also something that needs to be attached to a living, breathing wrap document.
Wow. All right, everybody. Are we having fun yet? I mean, I am learning a lot. You would think after 20-plus years in the insurance industry that I would know it all, but it continues to change and cause some confusion, and where there is confusion, there is opportunity. So if you're an agent or a broker out there and you're listening, make sure to go talk to your groups, whether they're small, medium, or large, because it sounds like these can impact any anything from a two-person group all the way on up to an unlimited size. So, brokers, you need to go talk to your groups and make sure they are safe and compliant before someone else perhaps knocks on their door asking this question. And it's a great opportunity for Rick to help you out. And there are a lot of things that that I can do to help you out as well. So we have talked about the different penalties that we are aware of. Rick, are there different business sizes where the penalties change? In the medical world, historically, small group has been considered 2 to 50, sometimes 2 to 100 employees. And then large might be 100 or 150 and above, and then it goes just on and on. Are the rules different by the size of the business?
Ellen, the rules require the filing of reports called 5500s mm-hmm. for any benefit plan that has 100 participants or more. And that filing goes to the IRS. Mm-hmm. And that's a service, of course, that my company provides alongside of the wrap document service. And the two are intertwined. The legislation has also been changed to where these requirements for the 5500 go from 100 participants, will now in 2019 drop down to an unlimited number of participants below 100. So even if a company has two participants on one of these ERISA subject benefits, mm-hmm. they're going to be required to file 5500 forms, prepare and file 5500 forms.
Uh-huh.
So where does a small business have the talent or fortitude or detail orientation to manage that kind of red tape?
I don't think that they're going to have it at all. And tell the listeners again, 5500
forms. 5500 forms are your communication to the IRS that you are in compliance with ERISA law and you are disclosing to your employee and to the IRS that you've got 100 participants on an ERISA subject health and welfare plan.
Okay, so for the layperson out there like mm-hmm. me, 5500 is the name of a form, just like the 1094 and the 1095 that came along with the Affordable, get your dictionary out, CARE Act. So, guys, we're going to head into another break, but we're going to keep talking numbers and acronyms when we come back to the insurance deal.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your health care freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Daryl Pullis inviting you to listen to America's Homegrown Veggie Show right here every Saturday morning at 10 Eastern Time. Great guests, great tips, and valuable information about growing your own vegetables, fruits, and herbs.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello and welcome back to The Insurance Deal. I am your host, Ellen Deal, and we are having an amazing time talking to my good friend and guest, Rick Sutter. Rick is with TASC, that's T-A-S-C, Total Administrative Services Corporation. And if you are a business owner and you have been listening, then I got to tell you, you're going to want to get in touch with me and you're going to want to get in touch with Rick. So my email is idealsolutions@gmail.com. And if you're watching the show online, you know that that's D-I-E-H-L. And Rick's email is rick.sutter@taskonline.com. So we are in our last segment and just are having a great time, believe it or not, talking about penalties, attorneys, the IRS, and 5,500 forms. Oh my gosh. So just before the break, I was, for the layperson, because I oftentimes think in terms of not just being an insurance professional, but how is the consumer hearing it and do they know what it means? So when we're talking about the 5,500 form, basically that's the number on the form that the government uses. And this particular form, well, Rick, you go ahead and tell us a little more about the 5,500 that small businesses, well, what size?
Right now, companies with 100 or more participants are subject to this reporting requirement. And the 5,500 form is not new. It's something that has been enforced and enacted under ERISA law for some time. What we're discovering is that many companies fail to file 5,500s, and they often get behind with their failure to file. There is a program called the Federal Delinquent Filer Program that enables the company to avoid the heavy fines associated with the time that, you know, and frequency of non-filing. So there's a $4,000 penalty that a company can pay to have someone prepare all of their past 5,500 forms. Now, they can pay that penalty to the IRS as long as all their past 5,500s due are filed, and that can get awfully expensive for a company to do that. And obviously, my company is pretty good at taking care of that, and we will enter a client into that federal delinquent filer program. That is the only way that a company can avoid having the heavy five- and six-figure fines that would accompany the failure to file 5,500s.
Okay.
So that's important to understand.
Great. So let's go. Let's just keep talking penalties, and let's talk about who is on the hook, who is responsible. Let's talk about the world where the business owner is trying to take care of it themselves, and then we'll address the world where the business owner has had the wisdom to let TASC take care of that for them. So you've got your fines, you've got your $110 a day per participant per infraction, and then you've got another $149 a day fine, and you've got poor Betty Sue, who's the plan administrator. And, you know, Betty is doing the best job she can to take care of the business, and she may even be the business owner for all it's worth, and she thinks she's doing everything right. She somehow or another is not keeping up with the wrap documents, and an employee that's no longer with her decides that they're going to go to the DOL and start filing some documents. What can happen to Betty, who's on the hook?
Well, Betty being the plan administrator is
yes.
that first contact.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one who is a representative of that employer, and she's on the hook.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So because she's the one that's been signing the documents, it's her name on there. I mean, so the plan administrator is paying the fines, but Betty is, I don't want to say complicit, because it sounds like she intended to do something wrong, but Betty's involved.
Her name would be a matter of public record if the fines were implemented and enforced.
Okay.
The difficult part here, Ellen, is in all of this legislation, including Family Medical Leave Act, COBRA, anything subject to federal oversight, the supervisors, especially in Family Medical Leave Act incidents, the supervisors and department heads can be personally liable for failure to comply with that legislation in a proper way.
Now, how does a department head in a factory or a clothing store or anything, how does a department head have any idea that they're on the hook for anything?
They have to have a pretty strong HR department that adheres to good practices, best practices in administering, say, Family Medical Leave Act procedures. If not, the company needs to really outsource that business.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with American business, and it's not a problem, we all like to think of ourselves as proud people that think of our companies as one big happy family. Well, if somebody gets sick and needs time off, or one of their family members gets sick and needs time off, the law says that you have to administer that and practice in a consistent way and non-discriminating with all employees. So all of the sudden, an employee feels that maybe they're not getting the same treatment as someone else who had a problem or a medical issue. That can trigger some very, very heavy inquiry and headaches for the business owner. The law makes department heads personally liable for making sure that that employee knows their rights under Family Medical Leave Act legislation.
So when a business is utilizing a service like yours, what protections do they have?
Okay, what we do with a client that works with us is that we provide them with a $1 million letter of hold harmless assurance, where in the event that we failed to do our job,
which would never happen.
Oh, well, you're correct. we're all in business, we're all human, but what we've done is with 42 years of experience and practice under our belts, we are one of the few organizations of our type that put our money where our mouth is. And so when we write documents, when we have an ongoing dialogue, an ongoing relationship with a client that keeps things in order, our $1 million letter of hold harmless assurance applies in the event that they're fined or penalized by federal authorities as a result of our error or omission in working with them as a client.
Okay, so if you're there to help the customer, then you're essentially on the hook and taking the hit. They've done what they needed to do, and now they can focus on their business instead of government rules and regulations.
That's exactly right.
Regulations. Yep. So you had mentioned that in in 2019 that ERISA law is going to drop down to a group of what size?
Well, the requirement to file 5500s will go down to all size employers, not just those who have 100 participants in a single benefit.
Okay.
It'll go down to two lives.
And when was the decision made to have this occur in 2019?
This was done during the Obama administration, and I believe we first saw that enacted around 2015. I believe it was late 2015,
okay.
Early 2016.
Really, it all just dovetails into the affordable. Check your dictionary. Check the definition of the word affordable. It all has to do with the Affordable Care Act. And how are small businesses feeling under these pressures of all this regulation, legislation, red tape, and penalties?
If someone were to pay attention to everything that could happen to them as a business owner from this point of view, you'd question your sanity about mm-hmm. going into business for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's my own feeling.
So,
it's like having a dark cloud over your head here in the land of milk and honey.
Right. So I would say that the cost of having, you have to pay for CPAs, you have to pay for attorneys. It sounds like the cost of avoiding penalties and being able to focus on your own business versus keeping up with FSA, FMLA, SMM, that was a new one, SPDs.
SAR.
Didn't know that one either.
Summary annual report.
Okay. Then the next episode of the insurance deal, we're going to do acronyms only day. And if you want to listen, you won't know what we're saying. But that was, I'm kidding about that. We have a few minutes to go, folks. We're having a fantastic time talking about summary plan documents, ERISA, wrap documents, and all things compliance. I'm Ellen Deal, and it's an absolute pleasure being here with you. My guest today is Rick Sutter of TASC, Total Administrative Services Corporation. And if you've got questions, do email them into me at idealsolutions@gmail.com. Rick, if you had to appeal to small business owners in a way that that would just help them do their business, what would you say?
Work with an advisor who understands human resources and HR issues.
Mm-hmm.
Probably your best type of advisor is someone who has experience in employee benefits and HR issues.
Okay.
I'm biased, but I have 30 years of experience in the employee benefits business in many ways, shapes, and forms, and I feel that you've got an advocate on your side when you're working with that type of advisor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, right. In the same way that I wouldn't know what to do in a mechanic's shop. Now, I did used to know how to change the oil in my car, but this was years, years ago when a car was not a computer. And so now if I needed to do anything with my car, I could no sooner figure that out than a business owner would know how to request a bronze, silver, or gold plan. It certainly is a confusing world out there. So, folks, business owners, agents, brokers, I hope that you have enjoyed this episode of The Insurance Deal. We have really enjoyed having you here with us, and you can go find us out at americaswebradio.com. I am Ellen Deal, and I want to say a great and very much thanks to my friend Rick Sutter with TASC for joining us today.
Ellen, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.